something about Malta. There's a gulf of difference between 1975 and like 1967. Now it's not such a...
Yeah, now it's like some you joined in 85, you joined in 92.
It's nothing that, yeah, but the difference. See, I'm always a younger.
Even when I joined, like, yeah, the difference between like 1967 and 1968 is huge.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Because like, I'm always good, eternally, which is, I'm always junior.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's like people like Shyam Sundar and
Malati.
Ramananda. Yeah, they're like senior. No, maybe
one
I
year,
joined.
They joined 1 year before.
Yeah, that's it. That was a big year, though.
Yeah. Here, I'm 7 years later. It's like 100 years. Yeah, because when I joined, it was like Prabhupada's like surrounded by all these. And I couldn't go near Prabhupada.
Yeah, yeah, it was like that.
No way. It was like, I never had any personal interaction. I had to sneak, and when he paid the basis, I touched my head. Because, you know, I broke the rules, you know. Yeah. Not that I...
Maharaji holding the mic. Prabhupada finally.
Oh, yeah, he's lying.
Maharaji holding the mic.
So, who's leading kirtan?
Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane
Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschatari Sacharine
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatari Sacharine
Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhar Vipatade Gaur Bhakta Vinda
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Rama
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hey, you bums.
Gopinath!
He knows about you.
Over here, boy.
Okay.
Hey, Rupa, can you guys please keep us and sit? Tell him to stop playing the mudanga.
Oh, beat him up. There's 20 of us and only 3 of you.
Yeah. And we have a Juno exhibition on our side.
Right. No stand a chance. So we were discussing the yoga system. Tell him we're going to send 15 guys up there and punch him out.
Ken Rossby's not home.
They go for 1 week.
The whole thing goes down.
Yeah.
Okay. We were discussing how one can free oneself from all pains by following regulated life. And we're discussing the... There you go.
Okay.
The principles to be followed in practicing yoga. The goal of yoga is to control the mind, control the senses, and fix it on Krishna. Much-chitta, make Krishna the goal of life. Now we're going to hear about something about the perfect stage. This is text 20. Yatra paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chayvatmanatmanam pashyanatmani tushyati sukham atyantikam yattat buddhi grayam atindriyam veti yatra nachayvayam stitas chalati tatsvata yam labdva chapram lavam manyate nadikam tataha Yasmin stitam na dukkena guruna pi vichalyate tam vidya dukkha sam yoga yogam yoga samvitam. In the stage of perfection called trance, samadhi, the mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. One can see the self by the pure mind, and relish and rejoice in the self. One is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Buddhigrayam atindri. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there's no greater gain. Situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So this is the samadhi stage. One follows these different preliminary methods and finally one comes to this stage, samadhi. And that samadhi is described yam labva chapram labham nanyate manyate nadikam tataha. He thinks there's nothing higher than this. He wouldn't trade it in for anything. And even amidst the greatest miseries, he's not, he doesn't budge, he stays situated in that samadhi. Prabhupada comments here, it's a rather technical description of chitti shakti, or the internal potency. The idea, in very briefly, is that in the Yoga Sutras, this chitti shakti is mentioned, and the indication Prabhupada derives from this, or he treats this as evidence that there's individuality, that there's a supreme personality of Godhead in which one comes in contact, because there's a pleasure potency, and pleasure potency means somebody has to be there to receive the pleasure, someone has to be there to give the pleasure. It's all personal. So the yoga system, which is sometimes being represented as being impersonal, Srila Prabhupada concludes is personal. Any questions here? There's some fairly technical descriptions here, but that's, I don't think you need to go into it very deeply. When you read it, you get it. It's simply a technical description. But it becomes very relevant when you're dealing with people who are seriously into yoga, doing Patanjali yoga and so on. Then you've got the information. Kind of like artillery, you know, when you need it, the ordnance is there. Okay? Further description? Further questions? Yes?
It's transcendental senses, do they have to do with our spiritual body?
Yes. Transcendental senses. The spiritual body is already there, it's just covered by the material body.
Yes. So Srila Prabhupada giving us this information, not really, because we're bringing it over, we're not Bhaja Nandi, we're Gosha Nandi, so we're going to deal with so many people following so many.
Yeah, there's an enormous amount of information here which is useful under different circumstances. So we may sometimes meet up with people who are, you know, seriously following their path of yoga. And they'll talk about Patanjali Yoga Sutras and this and that. Here's the stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
You say the spiritual body is already there.
Excuse me?
You just said the spiritual body is already there.
Yes.
Do we understand that it is already manifested but covered? Or
already what? Manifested?
Manifested but covered, or at a seed stage?
Covered means not manifested. If you have a candle and you covered it up with a basket, the candle's there, but it's not manifested. Manifested means you can see it.
I would have thought not manifested for a candle would be not lit.
It could be burning, but not
It is burning, but it's not visible.
Yeah, burning but not visible. If you put something over it, you can't see it.
Because sometimes we
so
think of
the soul is there, it's just covered. It's it would be manifest were it not for this material body and material mind.
So we shouldn't think of the spiritual body as being at a seed stage, but it's already there, fully developed, potentially.
Spirit doesn't develop. Spirit's there. Spirit exists. Matter changes. Nasate vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sada. Spirit is eternally the same. Achalo yam sanatan. But it's covered.
As far as the intelligence, the mind, and the senses, usually we refer them as being different from the soul. But in the spiritual body, they are the same.
In the spiritual body, they're the same.
But they're also distinct.
Yeah, just like it's analyzed in Mektra devotion, it's mentioned Krishna's bodily features. You know, his this. One angle of vision, they're all one, because it's all Krishna. Krishna is absolute. From another angle of vision, for deriving transcendental pleasure, their separate existence is recognized. Or from another point of view, you're eating some preparation, say, wow, this is a great preparation, but then if you care to, you'll distinguish that this is this spice, this is that spice, this is this spice. Otherwise, you're just, it's a great preparation. But if you analyze further, you'll see what the ingredients are. But the ingredients are not separate from the preparation.
Well, when you say Krishna's feet, the Krishna's head.
Krishna's feet is not different from Krishna. At the same time, Krishna's feet have their distinct qualities. His head has. Yeah. Shall we move forward? Sanischayena yoktavyo yoga nirvinna chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamam chatva sarvan asheshataha. Manasai vendriya gramam viniyam yasamantataha. So here's further instruction on yoga. Nischayena yoktavya. One should practice with nischaya, firm determination, or nischaya, firm determination. Anirvinna chetasa, without allowing one's consciousness to be deviated. Sankalpa prabhavan kaman. Here's that point again, that material desires, sankalpa, kama, are sankalpa prabhavan, born of mental speculation. Huh? We talked about that before. Prajahati yadan yada kaman sarvan partha manogata. The idea of material happiness is a mental speculation. There was a cartoon, not a cartoon, a Charlie Chaplin film I saw on one airline, and it showed this. Charlie Chaplin is there, and this woman rides by on a horse, and somehow Charlie Chaplin becomes like, wow. And he's like after her and, you know, trying to catch up with her, and he's imagining that, you know, he's with her and he's embracing her, I think, and then they have like this. They have a little cottage together, and they have kids, and he's holding a little kid and everything. And then he catches up with her, and he sees that she has glasses. And the whole thing is like, that's it. You have to laugh. It's a Charlie Chaplin film.
Prabhupada like Charlie Chaplin.
Prabhupada, it's authorized. Prabhupada like Charlie Chaplin.
So one detail he dropped.
Yeah. It was all imagination. There's a lot of examples of how we imagine. We imagine it's one thing, and it's really another thing. It's really something else again. It's made out to look like one thing, made up to look like one thing, and it's really something else altogether. That's material happiness. So sankalpa prabhavan kama. It's all otherwise, like, you know, you see this girl, you think, but, you know, you're thinking, like, it's like, wow. And the demigods are looking down and they're thinking, oh my God.
Poor guy.
Yeah, even, you know, a frog on the heavenly planet looks more beautiful than, you know, the movie stars of Earth. So looking down at, you know, these gorgeous creatures and say, oh, yeah. Oh my God. What is it? Sankalpa prabhavan karman. It's all mental speculation. But this is the problem, that the mind is coming up with all this stuff. So, tyaktva sarvan, the yogi gives up all these desires. Asheshata. Asheshata, shesh means something left. And asheshata means 100%, completely, nothing left. Manasayavendriya gramam viniyamya. And by the mind, he controls all the senses. Samantapitata, on all sides. And Prabhupada quotes here, utsaha nishchaya tariyat. Determination, patience, enthusiasm. Oh, we're tired today. Huh? It's a rough day. No, no criticism. I'm tired too. So patiently, with enthusiasm, with determination, one has to control the mind and senses, or control the senses by the mind. And Prabhupada said that Krishna will help because God helps those who help themselves. Shanai shanai uparamed buddhya drita grihitaya atma sangstam mana kritva nakinchit api chintayet. Shanai shanai means slowly, slowly, little by little. Uparamed buddhya driti grihitaya. Driti grihitaya means by intelligence, buddhya, driti grihitaya, carried by conviction, atmasangstam, placing oneself in transcendence, manakritva, the mind should be fixed that way, nakinchit api chintaye, one shouldn't think about anything else. Kinchit means something else. One shouldn't think of anything else. This is samadhi. Withdraw the mind from all of its thoughts and fix it in the self. Okay? Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatas tato niyam yaitad atmanyeva visham naye. Yato yato, from wherever and wherever the mind wanders, because it's nischalati, it's easily agitated, flickering, and chanchal, unsteady, fickle, astiram, these are all more or less synonymous in different ways. Nishchalati, chanchala, astir. Astir means not steady. Tatastato, from wherever it goes, niyamya, etad. One has to control, regulate the mind. Atmani eva vasham. One must bring it back under control and fix it on the in the self. If you think about it, this is the process of chanting also. The mind wanders and we have to bring it back. The mind again wanders, we bring it back. Wherever it goes, we have to bring it back to the transcendental sound vibration. The yogi has to do this without the transcendental sound vibration. silent meditation, he has to just somehow or other pull the mind back from wherever it's going. Imagine trying to do that without chanting. And people are practicing yoga and, you know, sitting in a gymnasium. Who knows where their minds are? But this is the process, to bring the mind back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama,
Hare
Rama,
Rama Rama. Rama.
Now, yet, one must do this. One must bring the mind under control. Yes?
Does the yogi simply practice bringing the mind back to the tip of the nose?
Well, that's the vision. The mind is not really supposed to be on the tip of the nose. The mind is supposed to be on transcendence.
Oh, I see.
But it's quite a trick.
Are you meditating on some mantra? Or?
They may have, yeah, usually there may be some mantra. Almost always there's some mantra. But inwardly they have to fix the mind on something.
On Vishnu, on form of Vishnu, they have to meditate.
Yeah, on Vishnu, on there's a mantra and there's a, whatever there is, a description. Somehow they have to fix the mind. Hard work. No deity.
So I have heard that they usually think of like a stream or something like that, you know, from coming down from the Himalayas. They have to think of something like that.
A stream coming down from the Himalayas?
Like it's a waterfall or something.
Yeah,
a waterfall? It's not mentioned in Bhagavad Gita to think of a waterfall. Vachchitta. Matpara. They have to think of Krishna, actually. Manasamyamya machchitta. This chapter earlier it said there's the real thing. They're, you know, practicing, think of a stream, think of a forest, but
that's new age stuff.
Actually they have to think of Krishna. It's a split. What verse is that? Manasamyamya machchitta. No, that's also there, but earlier in this chapter? It's in the beginning. Yeah, 14. Manasam yamya machchitto yukta sita matpadaha. They have to fix the mind on Krishna. This is modern yoga. Fix your mind on a stream coming down from the Himalayas. Fix the mind on Krishna.
Maharaj, how have meditating on Krishna? I mean, I've been meditating on the name, form, pastime, so they have any description of the super soul?
Usually the super soul is the object of meditation for the yogis. And the syllable Om representing the absolute. Of course, the impersonalists are meditating on I'm the drop, you're the ocean. Yes?
When we read in the advanced scriptures that the name leads on to the form, leads on to the or the qualities to the form and then the pastime, is that an automatic development? Or
the name is the form. The name and the form are the same. The name and the qualities are the same. The name and the pastimes are the same.
But when we meditate on the name.
The meditation is specifically on the name. I was just reading the other day, Prabhupada, it's not that we should try to picture something.
Okay, that's...
It's not that we try to picture something, that we chant and try to picture something. Our meditation is chanting with attention on the sound. Because Sevan Mukahi Jivado Svayameva Spratyadaha. If we sincerely serve Krishna, he'll reveal himself. Just trying to force the mind to see a picture is not the way we're recommended to go. The real thing is to serve the holy name, serve the instructions of the spiritual master, and by devotional service, when Krishna wants to reveal himself, then you'll actually see Krishna. In every department, everything will be spurati adaha, will be manifest. Anything else? Okay. Prashanta manasamhyenam yoginam sukhamuttamam upaiti shanta rajasam brahmaputama kalmasham. Prashanta manasa yogina sukhamuttamam. The yogi whose mind is peaceful, prashanta manasa, fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, Prabhupada says, prashanta manasa. If the mind is agitated, what will he get? But prashanta manasa, mind is fixed on Krishna, is peaceful. So he attains the highest happiness, sukhamuttamam. Upaiti shanta rajasam. Shanta rajasam means his passion is pacified, he's beyond the mode of passion. Brahmabhuta akalmasha. Akalmasha, free from sins. And Brahmabhuta, liberation by identification with the Absolute. As Prabhupada puts it, he realizes his qualitative identity with the Supreme. Does somebody have in the previous edition? Did you agree?
I think it's...
No, okay.
I think we've...
We've done that one, huh? We've done it. Anyway, there was something there that was less definite. Any questions there? Yes?
Yes, comment?
Yes.
This is speaking Krishna to Arjuna. Before he revealed him this universal form, Arjuna saw Krishna as... He didn't see him as a Bhagavan. He see him as friend. And it was... It must be like bewildering in this situation to Arjuna and Krishna speaking, one who thinks of me, he attain perfection and things like that.
Well, Krishna is revealing that he's the Supreme Lord, but Arjuna is... Actually, that's been revealed in the fourth chapter. Aparam, what is that? Bahuni mevyatitani janmani tavacharjana. You and I have passed through many births. I remember all of them. You've forgotten all of them. In different ways, Arjuna is, Krishna has said that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yada yada hi dharmasya, I come again and again, samadhani yada yada. Janma karma cha me divya. So many ways, actually, Krishna has revealed that he's the Personality of Godhead. But in the 11th chapter, Arjuna says, you've said it, let me see. Could you please demonstrate this for the benefit of others? But it's already known, from at least from the fourth chapter. Something else? Okay. Yunjanyevam saratmanam yogi vigatakalmashaha sukena brahma samsparsham atyantam sukham ashnute. Saratma vigatakalmashaha, free, this has come again in English, kalmasha means dirt, junk, sins, kalmasha, kali kalmasha nashana, kalmasha. So vigata kalmasha, freed from all material contamination. Sukena brahma samsparsha. Brahma samsparsha. We read before, samsparsha da bhoga. The senses in touch with the sense objects become a source of misery. Dukkha yoni ayavate. But here, Brahma samsparsha, being in touch with the Absolute, with the Supreme, brings transcendental happiness. Atyantam sukham ashnute, the highest transcendental happiness. Any question here? Yes.
I had a question on the last verse.
On the last verse, yeah.
In the verse it says, in the word for word, it mentions Samstam,
yes.
The grace of God.
Yes.
And then in brackets it says the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And then in the translation it takes it further and says in brackets, or the abode of Krishna.
Yes.
The reason why it has gone from...
Go loud, please.
Could you explain why it has gone from spiritual sky?
Yeah, you know, all of Prabhupada's purports are Prabhupada's books. You'll find that the word-for-word meaning doesn't always match the translation word-for-word. Prabhupada doesn't do it that way. That this is what the word means, and so this is how it's going to be in the translation. It's not so cut and dried as that, because words, as we know, have a richness of meaning that's not simply reflected in synonyms. So if we say, for example, that, oh, Jason has a good heart. So, okay, heart, you know, you say a heart. Well, heart is this little thing that goes, patum, 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 patum. So we understand that when we say, unless we're speaking in a medical context, that if, when we say that Jason has a good heart, it has to do with his emotions, his feelings, his attitude toward, especially toward other people. So that when we say he has a good heart, it means more than okay. Just patum, 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 patum. The word has richness to it. So these Sanskrit words also have richness to them. So it's not that they can just be tied down to a single English equivalent word. So Prabhupada sometimes gives one meaning in the word for word and another in the translation. So you get, again, a richness of meaning by seeing both. That's why we don't just jump over the word for word meanings and say, well, you know what it means because we've got the translation. If you look in the word for word, sometimes you'll get something else. And here's, for example, or sometimes it's you know, realized commentary that's being added, like in 27, Prashanta, peaceful, fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Shanta just means peaceful, and Prashanta means extremely peaceful. Peaceful. So, you know, a professor would say, exceedingly peaceful. But Prabhupada says, fixed on the lotus, at the lotus feet of Krishna. Because that's how you get peaceful. So there's commentary included there. Because if you really want to, just like we comment, that heart doesn't mean just the organ. It means his feelings towards others, his dealings with other people. So to really get at what heart means, you could write a whole book, you know, what it means to have a good heart. So Prabhupada said ultimately peacefulness means that your mind is fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. So there you have it. Or if you look at 28, there again in the translation, Brahma Samsparsha means literally in touch with the Absolute. Brahma Samsparsha. Sukhena Brahma Samsparsha. Happiness in touch with the Absolute. See what it becomes in Prabhupada's translation. The highest stage of perfect happiness and transcendental loving service to the Lord. Because how do you come in touch with the Absolute?
Transcendental loving service.
Uh-huh. Bhaktya mahama vijanati, only by devotional service. So Prabhupada gives Brahma Samsparsha as, because Samsparsha, being completely in touch with the Absolute, is possible only by devotional service. So there's commentary included in the translation. Or you can say the meaning or the purport is included. And of course the scholars go nuts with this. They, you know, he's just adding Krishna everywhere. But yes, they've understood. Yeah.
Maharaj, what if one, there's this objection that, like in personal realization or Paramatma realization, which is like the ultimate for the yogis, one cannot really realize like bhakti and Krishna and so forth. It's only limited to a certain realization where bhakti might not be even reached.
Louder, please.
Like someone might object that by this process of yoga, one does not necessarily reach bhakti or this loving relationship, but he only reaches a certain like Brahman or Paramatma stage.
Yeah, one might say that.
Prabhupada's Krishnizing.
Well, Prabhupada's giving the real conclusion of yoga. Yoga vastita tad gitena manasa prashanti yam yoga. The real yogi sees the personality of Godhead within himself. So he's giving the ultimate conclusion. He's not leaving it to merely to be inferred by the reader. Prabhupada puts it right up there. Yes.
Some way he said by Gyan, one realizes Brahman by meditation, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. Interesting to see how Prabhupada does it. Again, that's why in Krishna book, the gopis say, my dear Krishna, as you say in Bhagavad Gita. Why? So that you actually get the understanding. You can read these literal translations and, you know, you'll get whatever you get, but you don't get the same depth of understanding that you do when you read Prabhupada's realized edition. Is that okay? Clear? It's not simply a literal, when we say Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's not simply a slavishly literal, let's go to the dictionary and see what each word means kind of approach. It is that the literal meaning is given, but it's with the benefit of the commentary of the acharyas in penetrating the meaning of what it means. Not in the Mayavadis, you could say, well, the Mayavadis are doing the same thing. They're just taking the words and they're giving Shankaracharya's commentary. So what's the difference? The difference is that they have to like go through all these convoluted exercises to go against the purpose of the text. They have to say things like, when it says me, it doesn't really mean me. It means something else. They have to go through this, you know, elaborate way to try to exclude the conclusion. And Prabhupada simply reading the conclusion, and as one scholar complained, reading the conclusion into all the previous verses. That's what he's doing. They're trying to pull the conclusion out of all the previous verses. Big difference. Sarvabhutastamatmanam sarvabhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshanaha. Here's something nice. This is the actual vision of the yogi. We were talking about the what the yogi sees. What he sees the super soul in everyone, and everyone in the super soul. Yes, anyway, good enough. Yo mam pachati sarvatra, that will come up the next verse in fact. He makes that explicit in the next verse. Yo mam pachati sarvatra. Sarvam cha mayi pashyati. Tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. So someone may say, it doesn't say Krishna, it says Atma. He sees the Atma everywhere. But here it's very explicit. Me, mam. Yo mam pashyati, mam pashyati sarvatra. He sees me everywhere, and everything in me for such a person, I'm never lost and he's never lost to me. A very sweet stage. Maybe we take our break now? Okay. Bhakti, Vilas, Prabhu.
I'm feeling sorry that I came late to attend the course.
I feel happy you came.
So whatever I can do.
Hare Krishna. Where are you coming from?
I was in Vrindavan. I'm attending Govardhan retreat.
Ah.
So that's why I came late.
Ah.
Devotees told me to attend this at 7, but I could not avoid that.
Oh, nice. That must have been a wonderful retreat, as always.
Huh?
Then I really hate him, the cold.
If you have good eyes on your hand, to pull it off.
Not in the cold season.
this way. So he's coming in the news every day. Why is this happening? They went to his wife. So the wife said, don't believe in him.
Now the wife thinks she's married to a woman.
Anyone wonders why we don't sell them, why we don't encourage sales in Indian books. India's just not that great on binding.
They've gotten better.
Yeah. Now in Shivkashi you can get European.
They print
wherever they like to print, wherever they get good. Yeah, good deal, good quality, good price, that's where they print. But when we print abroad, we usually print at Shivkanshi.
Shivkanshi? Yeah, it's in Tamil Nadu.
Yeah, there's, I forgot my name. Srinivas. Yeah, well, it depends. If it was printed for abroad, then it was printed at Srinivas Fine Arts and then it's got European quality. Indian quality.
It's Indian quality?
It's Indian quality. People look at it and say, wow, what a deal, compared to the West, it's so expensive. There's a reason. There are two reasons, actually. One reason is the markup is lower, so less money goes to public construction funds because the Indian economy can't handle it. The Indian consumer just can't handle the standard markup. And the other reason is because the quality is just not up to Western quality.
Even that Hamsa-Dugasized Bhagavatam set, that smaller.
That's printed in
Singapore.
The one that we're getting now in the West, that's printed in Shivkashi.
How about the ones you get in Mayapur?
I assume that what you're getting in Mayapur is the local quality.
Does it say in the book where it's printed or
no? May or may not. It may or may not. If it says Srinivas Fine Arts, then you're getting local quality. Even like this one says, printed in Singapore, but it's not. Well, then it says in the bottom, the top it says printed in Singapore, bottom it says printed in Bombay. So they don't quite observe all the. It's gotten better now. Okay.
If it's printed in Singapore, it will be sold mostly in India. Where
it's sold, like in no. We print in Singapore for the whole world. But Singapore now, we don't print there much quality. The Christ advantage that we used to get is not as strong. Anyway, so we won't go into a whole printing seminar today. You didn't pay your extra $150 for the printing seminar, so you're not going to find out anything more about the printing. I'm sorry, guys. Okay.
By the time we will go from the Maya portal, we'll have to nothing. Because all the dollars and everything will be...
Seminars.
By the time you leave Mayapur, you'll have a full list of all the seminars you can attend for only a little more. Sarvabhuta stitam yomam padityekatvam astitaha sarvata vartamanopi sayogi mayi vartate. Never even noticed that. Sarvabhuta stitam, situated within everyone. Yo mam bhajati, he worships me. Ekatvam astita, situated in oneness. Ekatvam anupashita, that ekatva we know does not mean that you're God, I'm God, everyone's God. It means one in quality with Krishna and one in purpose with Krishna. Sarvata vartamanopi. Sayogi mai vartate. He knows that Krishna and the Super Soul are one. Sarvabhuta stitam yo mam bhajati ekatvam astita. Ah, that's how Prabhupada's taking it. That Krishna is present within everyone as the Super Soul. And that Super Soul is non-different from Krishna. And the soul is also not different from the Super Soul in quality, but not in quantity. There's this nice verse. I hardly even noticed it before. Narada Pancharatra. Dikkala Janavich Chanye, Krishne Cheto Vihayacha. Tanmayo Bhavati Kripram, Jivo Brahmani Yogi. Concentrating one's attention on the transcendental form of Krishna, who is all pervading beyond time and space, one becomes absorbed in Krishna, thinking of Krishna, and attains the happy state of transcendental association with him. Anything else here? Atmopam yena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjana sukham va yadiva dukkham siyogi paramo mata. Atmopam yena means by comparison to its own self. This is the vision of the yogi. Samam pashyati Yorjana. He sees all beings in happiness and distress with equal vision and sees them in comparison to himself. Atmopam yena. He can understand what the other living beings are by comparing them to his own self. What is that? Matravat paradareshu paradravyeshu voshtavat atmavat sarvabhuteshu yapashtati sa pandita. Chanakya Pandit says, this is a learned person. Matravat paradareshu, he sees all other women as being like his mother. Paradravyeshu, and other stuff, other property. Voshtavat, like garbage. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu. And he sees all other living beings to be like himself. Prabhupada gives the example that you wouldn't want to be pinched. So why do you want to see others pinched. You know, if you don't like to see, if you don't like to suffer, then, you know, what's it feel like for the other guy? You know, if you don't like to be in mental anxiety, you know, what's it like for them when they're in mental anxiety? Or when you're happy, you know, like, what's the difference? Like, you see the cows and the calves, you know, when they get together, they're happy. You know, the calf is happy, the mother is happy. So we can understand that, you know, what's so different from between their feelings and our feelings. We see you know, they're thirsty and we're thirsty. How does it feel for the cow to be thirsty? It must feel like the way it is for us to be thirsty. So in so many ways you can compare that they like to eat, we like to eat. They like to sleep, we like to sleep. They have sense enjoyment, we have sense enjoyment. They have family life, we have family life. So in this way, you know, they're practically like us. Atmabhat sarvabhuteshu. Maybe less intelligent, that's a different thing. But we have feelings, they have feelings. In this way, one sees all the other living beings and doesn't want to cause trouble for any living creature. One time I was serving Prabhupada prasadam, there were some big black ants that began crawling. So I started to brush them off. Prabhupada said, no, let them play. He said, they're also living entities. So this is the vision of a Krishna conscious person. He doesn't see, ants. Yeah.
Kill them.
Abba said, let them
play.
Or let them.
Neutral position.
He sees that they're also living entities. They also have a right to live. They also, you know, what do they want? They want to eat something. They want to... Another one, I think it was either Sasut Maharaj or Harisai was saying that they were eating some, the ants got in and started eating some of Prabhupada's, some sweet. Prabhupada said, it's all right, they don't take very much.
Yes, ants, they don't contaminate this
one. They don't take very much. Elsewhere we read that he's a kindly friend to all living beings. This is the nature of a devotee. Atmo pamyena sarvatra. And therefore Prabhupada, I think he comments that he wants to preach. He tries to broadcast Krishna consciousness, so he's the best philanthropist in the world and the dearest servitor of the Lord. In fact, somebody was just sending me a question today about philanthropy. And there's Prabhupada's take on philanthropy, that this is the best philanthropy in the world, simply to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. In this way, he always looks to the welfare of all living entities, and he's factually the friend of everyone. Any question here?
Yes.
Yes?
On the cause of happiness, is known Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all the activities of the human being. But nowadays, like, the activities of the human being are not so enjoyable for Krishna.
That means he's meant to be. It's Bhoktaram Yogyata Pasam. If you look at it, that's what Prabhupada's paraphrasing. Supreme enjoyer of all the activities, the proprietor of all lands and planets, and the sincerest friend. So that's Bhoktaram Yogyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshra Suridam Sarvabhutam. Lots of times when you read Prabhupada's purports, if you see where he's deriving his statements from, then you know clearly what he means. It means Bhoktaram Yogyatapasam. Not that Krishna is enjoying when he sees, you know, my rubbish activities. You know, when I'm going to the brothel, then Krishna is saying, oh good, he's going to the brothel, we're going to have a good time now. It's not that. He's the rightful enjoyer. It means that our activities should be done in such a way as to give pleasure to Krishna. When we're causing suffering for ourselves, actually, you know, oh good, now he's going to go to the brothel and catch AIDS and, you know, make himself miserable by agitating his mind and senses. Oh good. That's not enjoyable for Krishna. It was like a father. If the father sees that the son is doing something that's just going to cause pain to himself, not that the father, oh, but the son should be acting in such a way as to give pleasure to the father by, you know, adding to the prestige of the family or in some way doing something to carry out the instructions of the father. That, not that when the kid is doing his nonsense, the father feels happy. Yes?
It's just a practical situation. Where I live, in the morning, almost every morning, ants are scouting. And they may or may not find food, but they are just all over the floor, especially in areas where I need to go through. So I can either try and be like Jat Brat, but unavoidably will step on one. Or what I found was to get them out of my way with a broom, not in a hostile way, but just for their sake as well as mine. Is that a Vaishnava attitude?
Yeah, if you can get them out of your way without damaging their bodies, that's good. In some way. Either make your way around them or persuade them to move.
Chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, chant Hare Krishna. Stay where you are. Somehow or other.
And if you cannot.
Excuse me?
If you cannot.
If you can't.
So many,
that's unfortunate. That's the nature of the material world, that as soon as you walk from one side of this yard to the other, you'll have killed so many living entities. It's unavoidable. Therefore, we should always chant Hare Krishna. Yes?
More ants.
Huh?
But more ants in kitchens usually. If you allow the ants, or if you try to just be like ahimsa with the ants, you'll take over the whole kitchen.
Yeah.
So usually you...
The real thing is cleanliness. These ants and so on. You know, of course, ants are everywhere. But when we're not clean, then, or when we're careless, you know how the ants work. If you leave something out, they're there. If you covered something but didn't screw down the cover, they're there. If it's the wrong kind of packet, you know, they're there. They're actually these health departments in especially foreign countries. They're very good, like in England, and I happen to see how they were doing it in England. They come in and they spec, and they tell you, you know, okay, this should be off the floor, this should be in a steel container, this should be that. Why? Because they know this is what the rats are looking for, this is what the ants are looking for, this is what the, you know, these kind of creatures are looking for, and this is what you have to do. So then if you're not clean, they fine you or they shut you down. Because that's what you have to do to keep these guys out, really, is to be clean. If you're radically clean, then you'll have, you know, the minimal problem with raiding parties. And if you're not, if you invite them, they'll come, they'll feast. I was at one of our temples here in India a couple of years back, and I looked out the balcony, and the whole back was running with rats. Just running with rats. And I said to, you know, someone, you know, what is going on here? Yeah, they come from, you know, da 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 da. But really the story was that they were having a prasadam distribution program there. The devotees were distributing prasadam there every night, and they weren't cleaning. So the rats were, you know, the people would come for the first feast, and the rats would come for the second feast. Mm-hmm.
And the cats for the third.
And the cats for the third, yeah.
These Indian cats, they can't even kill them.
The cats just can't get together here.
No, they're just...
So...
In my pool, we have one. One cat.
They can't hack it, the dogs have taken over.
Now I am.
Just hold on a second. Well, let me finish this. Hold on 1 second, please. Hurry, hurry. I'll just finish this point. So, and that, then that temple, when they, you know, so I said, I think it's this, and they, you know, started cleaning rigorously, and lo and behold, the rats went elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not inviting us anymore, we're not going to come.
Right. Bhakti Yoga is the highest of all the blessings.
Yes, it is.
And I'm not very glad with the purport of the Prabhupada and chapter 32, first sentence. One who is Krishna conscious is a part of you. Can you understand, please?
Excuse me? Could real loud, please?
Chapter 32.
Text 32.
The first sentence.
Yeah. First sentence.
One who is Krishna conscious.
One who is Krishna conscious is a perfect yogi.
Yeah.
He's aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his personal experience. It doesn't mean that he's aware of every, you know, it's not like he's aware of all living entities. That's the super soul. Krishna actually is aware of everyone from within the heart. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam. He's like the CIA, you know, he's like in everyone's heart and knows everything. He's not, they're like what the CIA is trying to be, you know, that everywhere you go, they know what's going on. But Krishna actually has that. But the Krishna-conscious person, he's a perfect yogi, so he can understand that all the other living entities are like him in their nature. I'm eternal, they're also eternal. I also have knowledge, they also have knowledge. I'm blissful by nature, they're blissful by nature. I'm covered by a material mind and body, they're covered by a material mind and body. He understands, by comparison, I'm suffering, they're suffering. I get some material drug, you know, I have sex and I go, oh wow, and they're having sex and they're going, oh wow, you know. It's the same thing.
Like this is okay because we're cooking for Krishna and we don't want that food can you know be contaminated.
Yeah, I can't get into passing judgment on how they do everything everywhere.
Cleanliness is
but the main thing is cleanliness. Better than flypaper is screens, cleanliness, these things. Someone was telling me in some countries this flypaper is banned. I forget where I was hearing. Some countries it was just banned because, you know, it creates a lot of misery.
We have Lakshman Rekha here.
Yeah, I know we have Lakshman Rekha. It's poison.
Yeah, it's like the ants turn into dust practically.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lakshman Rekha is poison. Lakshman Rekha is poison.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
All it is.
They don't die, no?
Yeah, just
they
reach up there inside.
I thought, you know, from the name, you'd think that the ants reach the line and turn back, but it's not. They reach the line and they die.
Yeah, they go over it and then they die.
It's like.
They consume that.
I don't know how Lakshman's name got pulled into it, but it's not. It's not like his line, you know, where. You just can't get through.
Huh?
Well, you know, if Ravana were to die when he reached the line, that would be. But it's anyway, it's not like that. Lakshman Rekha's poison. That's all it is. Yes.
Is there anywhere that you know the statement Prabhupada may have made about mosquitoes?
So many. Prabhupada was a great observer of mosquitoes. He used to watch them with great interest. How Krishna has made such a marvelous machine as the mosquito, as Prabhupada would call it.
He was in favor of using some chemicals for killing them, or he was just.
I never heard him say that. He used mosquito net. That was his
best.
He used to say that you shouldn't kill them, but if they attack, then you can kill them. There's a story.
Before or after?
There's some story that somehow or other some devotee with some mosquito was bothering Prabhupada, or was inside his net or something, and mm-hmm. someplace, and then the devotee caught him, mm-hmm. and got him outside, and then the mosquito flew away, and it looked as if it had been killed, but it flew away. Prabhupada said, "Oh, good." He was happy. The mosquito didn't die. We're not, we don't even hate the mosquitoes.
We have been mosquitoes also.
So they're also so, but we don't like to provide for them, but we don't hate them.
Prabhupada uses the statement "Thou shalt not kill" in the Bible for various.
So this is a devotee. He doesn't like to see even the most insignificant creature suffer. Arjunavacha, yoyam yogas tvaya prokta samyena madhusudana etas yaham napashyami chanchalatvat titam stidam. This is very significant. Krishna has now explained the entire yoga system, and Krishna says, okay, you've explained it, but in summary, samyena means you haven't gone into all the details, but you've given the summary of it, and I don't see how it's possible to follow this. Why? Chanchalatvat stitim stiram, because the mind is so restless and unsteady. So how is this yoga system possible? And probably you're all familiar with Prabhupada's purport here, where he points out that even though Arjuna was so highly qualified, he lived at the very beginning of the age. He was Krishna's personal friend. He was a great kshatriya, noble person. He had all these great qualities. He was ready to go off and live in the forest to avoid killing his relatives. Very highly qualified person. And he says, I don't see how it's possible. But we're going to go to, Manhattan and practice this in a gym on, in Soho's Square or something, Soho District. It's a joke. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balabhadridham tasyaham nigraham manye vayur eva sudushkaram. So again, he's really elaborating. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. My dear Krishna, the mind is chanchal. Chanchal means fickle, flickering. Pramati means agitating. Balavad, strong, and dridham, obstinate. I think of a mental patient, These guys that they have to strap down with great jackets and everything. When they're really crazy, they get this extra strength. You see five guys trying to hold this one guy down. You've probably seen in movies or something with mental patients there. The guy's mad, and you need five guys to hold him down. Well, there's the mind for you. Or Krishna's example is, Arjuna's example is, vayur-eva, trying to control the wind. Imagine, a hurricane comes, hurricane whatever, Katrina or something. Stop! what does it mean? How are you going to stop a hurricane? So that's Arjuna's example, that the mind is so powerful, so crazy, agitating, fickle, determined, obstinate. How do you control? And I'm supposed to sit here with a peaceful, subdued mind, staring at the tip of the nose, free from fear. How is it possible? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Asamshaya, yes, undoubtedly that's so, Mahabaho. Mano durnigraham chalam, the flickering mind is very difficult to control, but abhyasena tu kontiya vairagyena chagriyate, it's possible to control by suitable practice and by detachments. Abhyas means practice, and vairagya means detachment. And Prabhupada explains what suitable practice is. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Ram,
Ram. And engagement in devotional service. That's suitable practice. The yoga system in the Kali Yuga is unsuitable practice. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nama Kevam. Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Katir Amrita. Asam yatatmana yogo duspraplati me matihi. Prashyatmana tu yatata shakyo vaptum upayataha. For one whose mind is asamyata, unbridled, uncontrolled, the self-realization is duṣprapa. Yoga is difficult. But vashyatmana, for one whose mind is controlled, yatata, and who's endeavoring by practical means. For him, success is possible. Upayata means, and probably appropriate means, suitable means. Trying to practice yoga while engaging the mind in material enjoyment is like trying to ignite a fire while pouring water on it. One must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That's the way to do it. Well, excuse me. We have the next question opens up a whole can of worms. Discussion, huh?
A discussion.
Yeah. Should we plunge ahead? We're kind of on the cusp here. We have 5 minutes left. Any other questions? Okay, yes. Loud.
Because it is said suitable practice means chanting Hare Krishna.
Suitable practice is chanting Hare Krishna, yes.
So, why Krishna is also saying Vairagya?
Yes, because chanting Hare Krishna also involves Vairagya. No intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. Chanting Hare Krishna, what's that offense? Maintaining material attachment while chanting the holy name of the Lord. So, chanting Hare Krishna doesn't mean chant and do any nonsense. It means detachment is also required. If I'm serious about chanting Hare Krishna, then I have to be serious about detachment also.
It's in the purport.
It's in the purport?
Yeah, vairagya.
Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind and spirit.
Yeah.
And it says right there, by detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn vairagya.
So it's not just that we chant Hare Krishna, but we chant Hare Krishna in a certain mood, with a certain purpose. Not that we're chanting Hare Krishna and trying to, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service, but please also keep 100% of my sense gratification intact and give me opportunities for more. That's not the mood. The mood is, what is that? Vishaya chariya she rasa madhya. Muke bolo hari hari. Narottam Das Thakur says, Vishaya choriya. Give up sense gratification. Shai rashe. and enjoy the taste of chanting the holy name. Mukhevalohan. Madanam Najanam Sundarin Kavitamba. I don't want money and followers and beautiful women. I want devotional service. Mama Janmani Janmani. So this is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. If he came to give Bhakti Yoga, then why? What's this about renunciation? No, renunciation is included. Vairagya Vidya, what is that?
Nija Bhakti Yoga.
Shaniyati Ashu Vairagyam Kanam Sharyada Bhakti Tatsharadhana Muniyo Jnana Vairagya Yukta. Jnana and no, we're not against Jnana, we're not against Vairagya, but we want them within the context of devotional service. And devotional service where we don't see Jnana, we don't see Vairagya, hey, punch you out. Is where we don't see Jnana, we don't see Vairagya, you have to ask, well, what's going on here? What's going on here? Jnana is not developing, Vairagya is not developing.
Isn't it that they should come automatically?
Yes, but automatically, but no, we also cultivate. What are we doing? We're sitting here, we're not like saying, well, I don't need to write, read Bhagavad Gita because the knowledge will come automatically. We're cultivating knowledge. But it's not like the Jnanis are cultivating dry speculative knowledge. We're interested in knowing about Krishna. Detachment. Also, there's some practice. It's not like we just say, well, I'll kind of wait for cigarettes to go away of their own accord, you know? If you have a problem, no, it requires determination. To get free, you know, like it's like the Hindus who say, yes, you say, why don't you engage in devotional service? Yes, when he desires. Yeah, he's already desiring. It's telling you in Bhagavad Gita, you rascal, you give up all your other nonsense and surrender to me. And you're going to hold on to every bit of your material attachment and say, yes, when he desires. And just kind of waiting for it to happen.
When the Lord wills.
When the Lord wills. You know, when it comes to eating, he doesn't say, yes, when, you know, when the food comes my way. He's, you know, going to the restaurant, he's going to the club. But when it comes to devotional service, when he desires. Now, what about our desire? We also have to cultivate some desire from our side to be engaged in the service of the Lord. And that means, at the same time, desiring to get out of material attachment.
But Maharaj, in your statement that when one practices bhakti, that jnana and vairagya naturally develops.
Yes.
Does it mean the desire that naturally develops to actually cultivate jnana?
Yeah, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, a person starts chanting Hare Krishna and then says, you know, well, what do I have to do to get out of this material? He wants to know, what do I have to do? What do I have to? So both things are there. It will develop automatically. It will develop naturally. But automatically, naturally means your heart starts to change and you start to ask yourself, you know, what do I, you know, how do I get out of this mess? I'm in a mess. I didn't realize I was in a mess. Now I see it. How do I get out? What do I have to get? You have to give up this. Okay, you know, how fast can I do it? We take a vow, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. Spiritual master says, now you have to come. Why? Well, you know, but if it feels natural, then, you know, it's okay. You can have a little of this, a little of that. No. It does require some determined effort on the part of the living entity, some determination. But no, I won't take this. We're reading, and Krishna says, one has to control the senses. Vasha. Control is necessary. Control means volition. It's not like we just kind of sit there and say, okay, I'm here, Krishna, I'm waiting for it to happen, you know. When's it going to be, huh? It's active. Active service. by active service, you get more service, and by getting more service, you get more detachment. By more detachment, you get. We're not like the renouncers who are simply renouncing. Where our process is positive to engage in the service of the Lord, then it's a fact. Automatically, renunciation will come. That means, you know, like steering a car. If you steer to the right, you're automatically not on the left. But you don't just kind of like cruise down the road and say, well, you know, when he desires, the car will go to the right. And when it's automatically on the right, it won't be on the left anymore. You know? It's a fact. When it's right, it won't be left. But you got to move it to the right. And then automatically it won't be on the left. You don't have to separately cultivate detachment. If you positively cultivate attachment to Krishna, the detachment will also be there. But if you just kind of like wait for everything to happen, it may not.
You have to make one step towards Krishna, because it takes 10 steps towards you, but you have to take that one step.
Yeah, you have to do your part. You have to take your one step. Yes?
And this is dhyana yoga? This refers to jnana? This is
jnana? Jnana means meditation.
Meditation. And this is part of jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga?
Yeah, dhyana is part of Ashtanga Yoga. You can say it's meditation. So meditation means this. Ashtanga Yoga is a system of meditation.
It culminates in meditation.
Understand? Ashtanga Yoga is a system of meditation. One branch of that system is also called meditation, but you can call the whole system a system of meditation. The culmination is samadhi, actually absorption. Dhyan is the process of meditating. Samadhi means, you know, it's like you made it. But the whole process can be called dhyan. But it's also a specific one of the eight. Okay?
But when it is like karma, jnana, ashtanga?
Karma, jnana, and ashtanga?
Where to put this?
We usually talk about karma, jnana, and bhakti.
Or
but this
where
is
to put this?
Karma, jnana, and yoga, or usually we say jnana, yoga, and bhakti. So this is yoga. This is one form of yoga. That suit your categorical process well enough? No? What do you need? What's on your checkerboard?
I think this yoga letter.
Yeah.
Karma yoga, jnana yoga.
Oh, what's the order?
Progressive.
Yoga.
Karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga,
and bhakti.
Bhakti yoga. Yeah, generally the yogis are considered higher. The karmis, jnanis, then the yogis. The jnanis are just speculating. But the yogis are actually supposed to see the personality of Godhead. Paramatma realization. Therefore, it said the karma. Of course, karma yoga finally means Krishna consciousness. So the karma yogis are mostly doing their pious activity. Then from karma, the next stage is jnana, intellectual search. Then the next stage is that they get it seriously into meditation. And then the next stage is bhakti, or the next level. Is that okay?
So this dhyan actually coming after jnana?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
The jnanis, what are they doing the whole day? They're sitting and reading?
Jnanis? Philosophizing. Now I guess they eat and do other things, but they're philosophers. You know, what do philosophers do? They philosophize.
Like
they read books, they have learned discussions, they think a lot. They think, they read, they discuss.
Can imagine like Greeks.
Yeah, although the Greeks had their... But yeah, like you can say that Socrates was a jnani. You're making some adjustments, you could say that. He's, you know, jnani means a philosopher. So you can say that they're like philosophers. trying to find out the truth by intellectual search. Okay? Thank you all very much.
Hare Krishna.